for our meeting tonight. It's the City of Iqaluit Planning and Development Committee of the whole meeting number one, City Council Chambers on January 20, 2026 at 6 o'clock. And we will proceed with silent to think about Greenlanders. Thank you. There's been no addition or anything taken away from our meeting adoption of agenda. Deputy Mayor Harry Flaherty, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Questions, comments? I see none. All those in favor? And unanimous. Carried. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I guess you can't see her, but at least you can hear us.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Thank you for being involved in tonight's meeting and being present via online. Thank you. I see there's no minutes. And we're now at Declaration of Interest. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have to declare for 5B, C, E, and G tonight. That's for work relationships with involved parties.
When I make Katima Shepherd Kinalu, Katima Jutik, no, you cut.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd, for declaring your interest. And you will identify that once we get to our agenda item. And I believe there is a delegation. We're on item number three. But the minutes has written down a person identified, but we will be seeing someone else this evening replacing that person that was written in the minutes. Tim wasn't able to come, so he will be represented by this person who will introduce himself. The floor is his.
Oh, online?
Thank you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Wonderful. The internet problems we are having tonight is part of what we're trying to resolve with our presentation tonight. So good evening. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present before the Planning and Development Committee. I'm Dean Proctor, Chief Development Officer of Kinnick and SSI Canada. And I'm here with Crystal Fuller of Brighter Planning. Crystal and her team have been providing us with valuable assistance and guidance for some time as we work to grow and improve the Kinnick network across Nunavut. Tim Froehler, as you'd mentioned, Mr. Mayor, identified in your agenda, cannot join us this evening. I can also say with certainty that we would much prefer to be with you in person, and our apologies that we cannot be today. Further apologies that we do not have a written presentation to share with you. That would have made this somewhat easier, but we'd be happy to share a written presentation after this discussion in both Inuktitut and English, if you would like. We last presented before Iqaluit Council in September of 2023, and this presentation is a happy follow-on to that meeting. In 2023, we presented to the full council the Kinnick Broadband Revolution, our proposal to the CRTC Broadband Fund to greatly enhance the Kinnick network, serving Iqaluit and all 25 communities across Nunavut. The council supported our application with much appreciation and much thanks from us. We were successful in receiving $26 million in assistance to cover satellite operating costs to the benefit of Nunavut broadband and mobile consumers. Something that's not in my notes is that, as we're seeing with the internet difficulties tonight, there's still much more room for investment and improvement in the north. The purpose of today's presentation is to present our proposal to survey a small portion of land that's a part of lot 2-26-2887 in Tundra Valley for a proposed new communications installation. Kinnick and SSI Canada currently operate 5 telecommunication sites for wireless communications, broadband and mobile, across Iqaluit. Due to population growth, which you're all fully aware of, and increased demand for mobile and internet services, the existing Kinnick network is both reaching capacity and in some areas of town needs improved coverage. This proposal will represent a 6th site to improve service reliability and coverage in the town, in the city, and we're also working to secure a 7th site in the downtown area. Tundra Valley has been identified as the most suitable location for a new site due to terrain-related coverage gaps near the Pangak Crescent intersection. A new site in this area would be integrated fully into the other sites and the infrastructure in Iqaluit, part of the seamless network, to provide better, more consistent coverage and improve network performance for the surrounding residential and commercial areas. However, with respect to the proposed location in Tundra Valley, we understand that the city does not currently have a disposal method in your administration bylaw that allows direct disposal of land to commercial utility service providers. Telecommunications providers, and Kinnick's mobile and broadband services in particular, deliver essential services that support public safety, health, education, commerce, entertainment, more generally day-to-day communications within the entire community, and essential connectivity to the rest of the world. As a wireless provider, our infrastructure must be located in specific areas to provide proper and complete network coverage without holes or gaps. Enabling appropriate land access helps ensure we can provide quality and reliable service for consumers, government, and business. If the opportunity is made available by council, we will apply to survey a small parcel of land for telecommunications use only. The proposed installation would have a minimal footprint and would comply with all applicable safety, building, and environmental requirements. In closing, our request supports improved connectivity for consumers, government, businesses, and visitors to Iqaluit, all the while maintaining a very low impact on the surrounding area. We thank you for the time this evening. We've tried to keep this brief, and we respectfully ask for Council's consideration in opening a new mechanism for commercial utility service providers, including Kinnick SSI, to survey and lease land for small location-dependent installations. Thank you again. We'll be pleased to take any questions you may have. And as previously mentioned, we'd be pleased to provide the committee with a copy of our presentation, including illustrations and mapping in Inuktitut and English if desired. Thank you.
We're gonna make the...
Thank you. And the floor is open to questions or comments. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you for the presentation. My initial thoughts would be that, a provision to allow this within our, or a lack of a provision in our land administration bylaw to deal with something like this is possibly an oversight. I'm not sure it was intentionally left out. I'd like to learn more at the appropriate time from our planning and lands department. Just in regards to your technology, when you're looking at adding let's call it a new tower, for lack of a better term. Will this serve only Kinnick clients, or will it serve a broader range of telecommunication providers, specifically cell phone providers in our community?
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. And it's a question that's open to our guest. The floor to you.
Two different responses on that one. The network itself that we operate is open to all of our roaming partners. So for example, you will have customers from Rogers, from Fido, from Videotron, from AT&T, all of whom come into Iqaluit thousands per year and use our network. With respect to the site itself, because that's one aspect in terms of which other service providers can use our network, the Kinnick network. The second aspect to that, to the response to that, and that may have been what you've been asking, Councillor, is will other telecommunication service providers co-locate, put their equipment on that site? The plan we have for this site is a small utility pole, a telephone pole, 45 feet high. We've been using those successfully in communities across Nunavut, including in Iqaluit, because they are less obtrusive. It's not a large 200-foot tower, for example. So to the extent that that 45-foot telecommunications utility pole is able to support other service providers, yes. But other service providers may wish to have a different location that might not be a suitable location for them. They may want to have a higher tower, which, of course, is a whole different set of issues, but we're certainly open to allowing other providers on that.
Thank you, Dean. You're okay now, Councillor Shepherd? A nod. And thank you. There's no further questions. Thank you for the coming, my apologies, Deputy Mayor Smith.
I just wanted to say thank you for your presentation, Dean. And I'd love to see your slide deck or your presentation if you're able to send it, share it with Council. I'd love to take a look at it. So, thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. And you want to respond to that, Dean?
Thank you for that ask, and we will happily send it up. We apologize we didn't get it to you in time, but we will get it to you for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We'll expect that. Thank you. Any other further questions? All right. I think that wraps it up. Dean, thank you for taking the time to be one of our delegates this evening with your presentation. And at this stage, it's more of an information to our meeting and going back to our agenda items. We'll now go to deferred business and tables. None, new business. Number 5, request for decision survey sketch. SK26-001. And Matthew is available tonight to talk on this.
Thank you, committee. The item 5A is a survey sketch approval for the West 40 Industrial Subdivision, particularly for what we have been referring to in prior approvals as the first phase of lots for disposal. What triggers this is that Council approves to survey land to create new lots for disposal. The approval follows bylaw readings and concept plan approvals related to the West 40 from the end of 2025 in October and November. Council approved the concept plan in November and directed staff to return to committee with a survey sketch for the first phase of lots. In the report in front of you, staff have recommended that Council defer the acquisition of certain lots. Those lots fall outside of the industrial subdivision, and deferring their acquisition would not cause any delays to the West 40 project. they're being deferred for the reasons listed in the report. And if there's any questions, we're happy to answer. Council's discretion at this stage is with the approval of the sketch plan and which lots are to be deferred for acquisition from the territorial government. We're here to answer any questions if they come up, and thank you, Mayor.
My name is Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. The floor is open to questions or comments. Councillor Stevenson.
I'm understanding correctly that this will trigger the actual surveys. So can you explain to me why we wouldn't just do the surveys of the lots with the dogs and the other two lots now and just not dispose of them until we've made further decisions? Like, why not do all the surveying, the physical surveying together?
When we get to me, Stevenson, Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor, for the question. The question is, if I understand the question correctly, the reason we're doing the survey in two parts is that the first survey that we're doing now, SK26001, are lots that are abutting or adjacent to existing roadways. Therefore, there's no construction work that needs to be done. There's no new roadways that need to be constructed to support these lots. And it's more predictable as to how these lots will be shaped and their size. The second phase of the West 40 subdivision relies on new roads, a ring road, to be constructed. And during construction, they may run into different things that could cause the road layout to look different than it does on paper. Or during the detailed design process, which is underway with the consultant, there may be certain design factors that could reconfigure the road slightly. So it's best practice to legally survey new roads at the appropriate time, closer to construction, rather than preemptively survey them now. And so we're just waiting on Stantec to finalize the detailed design for the construction phase before we return with a new survey sketch for that phase. If the question also pertains to why certain lots are being deferred for acquisition, it's mainly due to risk. Acquiring lots that are lots 1 and 2 identified in the sketch would mean that we acquire those lands from the territorial government, but they are a former metal dump, and in 2027 we'll have the 10-year post cleanup report. And be better positioned to make a decision on whether we'd like to acquire that and the risk that comes with it. Thank you.
Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Does that answer your question, Councillor Stevenson? Yes, that's good. Any other questions? There are none. Matthew, are you asking for a motion to approve this, to go with option Matthew?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. The recommended motion is in the request for decision, which is to approve survey sketch SK26001. Direct staff to coordinate with the Department of Community Services to issue notification to the Land Titles Office assigning municipal fee simple title to the lots listed in the report, and to direct staff to identify long-term land tenure options for the dog team areas and return to committee as per the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Stevenson.
I'd make a motion to approve those three recommendations.
Moved by Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Councillor Aglukkaq. Any questions or comments about the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous.
In favor.
Thank you. Can you hear?
Motion carried. One of the counselors has to leave for the interim. 5B, general request for decision, general plan amendment, GPA 26001. Samantha is online. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, and thank you, council members, this evening. This item is a general plan and zoning bylaw amendment to rezone lots 1 and 3, block 239, plan 4565 in the core area, to remove it from the Sianga District overlay. And to rezone the site from Sianga zone to high density residential, special exception 4. The redesignation and rezoning are both required to permit the redevelopment of the site with a 4-story apartment building with 36 units, 20 of which are 2-bedroom units. The Sianga district overlay permits only ground oriented development and limits building height and sizes to protect access and views to the beach. In order to permit a 4-story apartment building, the overlay would need to be removed. The site is also zoned Sianga, which permits a maximum of 4 units and 2 stories. The proposed amendment will rezone the site to high density residential to permit an apartment building, reduce the minimum front yard setback to 3 meters, and reduce the northern interior side yard setback to 2 meters. Both reductions in setbacks are considered appropriate and desirable as they serve to create a consistent street wall along Fred Coleman by aligning with the adjacent development at 810 Avic. The adjacent development is set back 6 meters from the shared lot line, so the interior side yard setback will not cause the two developments to be too close together. The amendment, the site is considered suitable for rezoning and intensification, as it's a large, well-located site in the core area, surrounded by several 4-story developments, is not well connected to the beach. As well, the proposed development tries to maintain some benefits of the Sianga zone by providing outdoor storage, pedestrian connections to prevent blocking off pedestrian movement through the site to the beach, as well as dedicated snow machine and ATV parking area. The plans are in attachment 2, including the renderings to give you a sense of the proposed scale of development. The recommendation is to give first reading to both the amending bylaw to the general plan and the zoning bylaw, and to direct staff to give public notice for a public hearing. Renamit.
Thank you, Samantha. Any comments or questions? Councillor Stevenson.
I guess the Sianga overlay, well, I guess I'll preface by saying that if you look at the area as it stands now, it makes sense to densify it in the way that we're talking about in this proposed change. But that Siguenga overlay has been, the borders of that have moved multiple times over the last, well, since it was created in the zoning bylaw and general plan from prior to 2009. But each time that developers felt like they should create larger buildings than were limited by that overlay, you know, council made the decision to shift the borders, and you can see that border shift on the documents in the draft zoning bylaw change and general plan change. Those are our only tools for maintaining neighborhoods in the way we want them to be maintained. The reason for the overlay at the time was that those primarily low density single family lots were to be protected. They were primarily Inuit ownership, people who had been here a long time and had a strong connection to hunting culture and to access to that beach all the way down multiple streets. If you look at the attachment one, it's quite clear there, you know, where the single family houses are, as opposed to now the densification, as those buildings have gone up all around. And this map doesn't actually show the Big Racks lot, for lack of a better name, which now has a large building on it. And over in the next block over, the two buildings that are going up, large buildings going up on that lot. So the densification of those two blocks, the one that this area is talking about and the one next to it, are taking place at a great rate. And they happen because we're willing to just shift our general plan and shift the zoning bylaw whenever we're asked to do so, in the interest of densification in the core, which actually kind of makes sense, except for that this was a set aside that was made with good reason at the time that it was made, and still exists in the other lots that are to the left in that attachment one. You know, and noting that all of those buildings to the left in attachment one are all old, and all of those owners are just waiting until there's going to be a time where they're going to sell and somebody's going to come back and ask us again to move the overlay so that we can over-densify or continue to densify those lots. And there'll be a creep until there won't be really access of any single-family lots to the beach. I basically just wanted to highlight that as a history of what's being done. I do think it's too late for these two blocks that we're on, and it makes sort of logical sense to shift really the entire overlay. So I'm not sure why we're just doing it lot by lot as we go, but of that whole block and say, you know, this is densified downtown area. But then at some point we either have to stand up to protect the single unit low density lots that are to the left or not. But doing it piece by piece every time somebody comes to ask seems like not the right way to do planning.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson.
I would be interested in what my colleagues also thought, but in terms of in favor of this actual change, I think it makes sense. There is no real justification for trying to keep these lots inside the overlay when the rest of the neighborhood obviously has already shifted. We've already done this. Not this council, not these people, but council has already done these changes, I think, three times, if I remember correctly, maybe more, where we've shifted to allow densification. So I think it's too late for these lots. I actually think we should probably expand it even larger, and maybe planning could say why they haven't chosen to do that, or if it would be possible to just include the entire block as opposed to just these two lots. But I also think that is something that we need to keep in the back of our minds, is at some point we either have to stop or we shouldn't have the overlay at all.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. I just want to make a short statement on what my colleague is saying. I want to support it because what he said, it's true. when I first became a counselor, I said that within the city, the planning that has been done, controlling the height of the buildings, and we had to do some planning about that. I'm sure the work is being done, but then these requests for higher buildings are coming all the time, and they try to change the zoning, the zone borders, and we're changing these lot by lot, it seems. And I stated previously, we need to have a proper plan on how the city of Iqaluit, what we want to see in the city in the future. And if we look at the present situation in other communities, their buildings are set up in a certain way. In Iqaluit, in the Iqaluit core area, there are high buildings, tall buildings, and short buildings, and they look like they were just put up all over the place. When can we work on the master plan? Like we have mentioned it a number of times, when are we going to actually start using the general plan? And before we actually start using it, some of the lots in Iqaluit, we should put a moratorium where nobody can build anything on that lot for a set amount of time. Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. And perhaps not a real question. It's been mentioned that this will be part of the general plan. Maybe after Matthew responds and our CAO can respond as well. And then Deputy Mayor Smith. Matthew, you can respond to this if you want.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, committee, for the discussion. With regards to both councillors' comments and questions, this area in Lower Base, that's overlaid by the Sianga Overlay District. In the draft community plan, which has been making significant momentum and very close to coming to this room, does show the recession of that line to align with Fred Komen Street. So the block that this development permit is within, it is being proposed to be removed from the Sianga zone. So this proposal is consistent with how staff and the planning vision envisions this particular area. So hopefully that answers both of those questions. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Did you want a follow-up question, Councillor Stevenson?
Not to jump the line, but just a little bit of clarity about the Sianga overlay is that I think this clarity probably isn't necessary for the members of council, but maybe more for staff that, like, when it talked about access to the beach, it's not like beachfront property. That's not what they're looking for. It was about a hunting culture where you could leave your boat on the shore and be able to walk down to check on it, where you could access skidooing in the springtime when you can't have to cross five or six roads. Having the single low density units, we've flipped, and you know, Councillor Kunuk was actually talking about this last meeting, but we flipped where we should have the low density, and we've put them up on the high hills where it's hard to get to your access to the beach and to the hunting culture, when really it should be down at the lower area. So that was the reason for it. I just wanted to make that clear because I was talking about it before.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Deputy Mayor Smith will now be able to have a chance to have her comment and say thank you.
Thank you to my colleagues for their comments. I do agree, I'm with our new planning that this will all become or be removed from the zone, I think it does make sense for these two blocks, as you know, we've already seen a significant amount of development in that area and densification of our downtown core is important. You know, it's a way for us to alleviate some of the strain that we have in our community. Forgive me if I misunderstood this comment, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, but on having some sort of protection or moratorium in place for the other Sojanga lots where, you know, this can't happen, a developer can't come in and buy up a bunch of property and make it tall. I think that that is something that I personally would like to look at and think is important to protect that area for these single family homes, aside from just the zoning, because people can apply for a zoning change once that property is bought and sold, etc. But I do, if there was a way for us to do that, I think that's something that we should look at. But as for this development in particular, I'm absolutely in favor, and I would actually make a motion to go forward.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Alternate Mayor will now have the floor. Thank you, Mayor. I was making a comment about the fact that we'll need to have a review, and I wanted to make a motion. I believe there was a motion to move it, so I will second it. Thank you. Thank you to the alternate mayor. Councillor Stevenson, follow up.
I was actually going to second the motion too, so that's fine. I will just say that part of the motion is to give public notice and a public hearing, which we're going to do. I will warn that that was one of the public hearings where we had a lot of people come in one of those changes, and in one of the others where we had people very upset. People are still upset to this day about the change that we made and the densification of this block. So just as a warning, and maybe back to what we discussed last week about making sure that we give that public hearing enough space.
Thank you. There is a motion by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Alternate Mayor Flaherty. And there will be a continuation of this file. And so there is a motion. Questions, comments to the motion? I see none. All those in favor? I see it's unanimous. Over to you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Thank you. And now moving along for our new business, request for a decision, lot disposal, ATCO Loop Lots. And who's here from our staff?
Kobayashi.
Rico Kobayashi, city planner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, committee. This evening, this request for decision concerns ATCO Loop lands in the core area along Queen Elizabeth Way, and a proposed adjustment to a lot configuration that was previously approved by council. In November 2023, council had supported a three-parcel consolidation of the ATCO Loop lands, as shown in Attachment 1. And apologies, there may be some versioning errors in the attachments, but if we look at Attachment 1, that was initially what was previously approved. And since then, council has also approved the Memorandum of Understanding with the Nunavut Housing Corporation, as well as the service sketch that created the three parcels on this site, that is parcels A, B, and C. Parcel B has since been awarded to Kutak Society and is not part of today's discussion. And so the remaining two parcels, parcels A and C, They were initially intended to be separate private developments. The proponents, that is Mr. Cowett and TBG Construction, have expressed interest in pursuing a joint development across parcels A and C, as shown in attachment 2. As such, staff are now seeking direction on whether consolidating these two parcels into a single site is supportable. While the reconfiguration represents a change to the lot layout previously approved by council, it would support a more efficient use of land and may provide additional flexibility in site layout, access, and circulation to help address some previously identified site design constraints. This reconfiguration does not constitute approval of any development and doesn't preclude further review in the development permit process, which remains subject to council approval. As such, staff are therefore recommending that the Planning and Development Committee recommend council to support the revised configuration of the remaining ATCO Loop lots, consolidating parcels A and C, as shown in attachment 2, and direct staff to proceed with the associated planning and lands processes. Thank you.
Thank you, Rico. Thank you. Questions, comments? Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you for that presentation. Can you explain to me how a reconfigured lot, like when it's done, will have three separate owners? Like right now the lots are owned or lease held by different people. So when they configure the lot, I know like on a drawing and agreeing to configure, that's one thing, but at some point we're going to actually make this into a lot that won't be. How will the ownership of that work? Or when does that process take place?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Now the floor is to Rico.
Yes, there are three different ownerships. There's city lots, TBG, Mr. Cowetson, as well as NHC lots. In terms of the NHC lot, they under the memorandum of understanding we have with NHC, the lot subject to approval of the development and affordability targets, they will be surplus and transferred to the city at a nominal value in order to help consolidate the parcels. In terms of the agreement between Mr. Kawa and TBG Construction, that would be a private arrangement between the two of them and will be addressed at the land stage once the consolidation is approved and finalized.
Thank you, Rico.
Ms. Stevenson.
And maybe I'm not understanding very well, this may be on me, but so then, like you're saying that the NH or the Kudluk Energy Corp lot would come to the city owns some lots, and then two private developers own lots that are all becoming part of one lot. So how is the city making, like how are the city lots being either transferred? Have we already decided to sell to those specific people, or or will there be co-ownership of the lot for some period of time?
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson, thank you. Now to Rico.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up question, Councillor. In terms of the city lots, they have been, it had been decided that they will be disposed of to the individual private developers. In this case, parcel A was disposed of to TBG Construction and parcel C to Mr. Cowett. And it's also discussed in the MOU with NHC that the city will dispose of these lots to the respective developers as well. So yes, it has been previously discussed and approved.
Councillor Stevenson, does that answer your question?
Okay. What's your recommendation?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The recommendation is so that the committee does recommend to council to support the revised configuration of the remaining ATCO loop lots to consolidate parcels A and C, as shown in attachment 2, and to direct staff to proceed with the associated planning and lands processes. Thank you.
So if we were to follow these recommendations, make this recommendation today, is this a this year construction project? Will this be starting now, or will this the jigs and reels of our processes take more than this year? Maybe you could fill me in on the timeline, potential timeline.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Rico?
Thank you for the question, Councillor. I think it's tough to say in terms of to give a concrete definitive timeline right now. It would have to go through the development permitting process, as well as we would have to come back with the survey sketch as well for the new consolidation. So working on the land side, but also the development permitting process, it's tough to give a timeline, depending on how the proponents would like to move forward with at least the development side of things. So.
Thank you, Rico. Councillor Stevenson.
I know these lots, or some of these lots, were at one point like it was near a done deal that the Coast Guard was going to take them and build apartment buildings and office buildings, and there was a whole bunch of excitement about that, and they were going to be done quickly because they needed the buildings quickly. This is maybe pre-COVID. I gather maybe COVID was what got in the way of that plan. I can't remember exactly now. I only raise it because, these lots are both an eyesore and a waste of space in our downtown core, and it would be very nice to have them developed. And I'm in favor of anything that makes that happen quickly and effectively. In this case, I am actually very in favor of densification right here, as well as hopefully some commercial spaces along our main strip. So I'd like to see this go forward, and I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you. Do you second the motion?
Seconded by Councillor Akluka. The recommendation read by Rico. Any question on the motion? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous. Now, Deputy Mayor Smith.
In favor.
Thank you. Motion carried. Shepherd back in the chamber, number 5D, memo, Jomi Court, interpretation, expired construction term, Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This memo is a update. The last update we had for committee on Jomi Court was in June of 2025. At that meeting, we reported on which remaining lots had to be developed, what the outstanding obligations were under those leases, and how much longer. And at that meeting, committee made decisions about extending construction terms to allow those lots to be developed and bring those leases into good standing. The maximum time that council can support an extension for a lease construction term is 1 year. So at that time, it's when the construction term expires, and then it can be a full calendar year from that expiration date, and so on and so forth. The developers got to work. Two of them were able to develop within 2025, and remaining are three lots that are not in good standing. This memo is an overview of those three lots, and then the following three items in the agenda are those three lots one by one, so we can make separate recommendations for each of them. There's an attachment in this memo called Attachment 1. It's sideways. It shows a comparative table of those three lots. I would just go over them quickly so you know what we're approving in the next three items, or sorry, reviewing in the next three items. Lot 25 of Jomi Court, the development permit has been obtained. When we investigated the site in late December, which is when we prepared this package, piling and foundation work was completed. If you go to the site now, you'll see that the building is almost fully framed, but at the time of site investigation, it was just piling and foundation work. In June, they paid a 10% penalty to extend, and they've been active in pursuing development since then. So the recommendation and item to come would be that staff would recommend to extend the construction term on this lot. Lot 27 is the unique lot in this list. In June, they had mentioned that they would look to surrender the lease. In discussing the terms of that surrender, the owner of the lot made a change and decided that development would be more favorable for them. And to bring their lease back into good standing, they have applied for an extension of construction term. They've gone and obtained a development permit and are awaiting pile foundation work, and they've been proactive and active in pursuing their development. The recommendation would be to extend the construction term on that lot as well, because it is close to being developed, and the developer has shown signs of being prepared. Lot 29, similar, in June 2025, they requested an extension. They paid the 10% penalty, and since then, they've completed piling, and they're working on their foundation. So the recommendation would be to extend. That's the update for the remaining three lots. And if there are any questions at this time, happy to answer them. Otherwise, we would discuss them individually in the next three items. And some of the lessees and developers are here in the gallery too, in case there are any questions for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Any questions or comments or statements? There are none. The first lot, 25, as our staff recommended. So would anyone like to make a motion to approve it? My apologies, Councillor Kunuk.
Matthew.
Put on the mic. Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Mayor. I was just, I have no other comments on the memo. I don't know if you had moved on to item 5E, but if, are we on item 5E right now? Okay, so for item 5E, this would be lot 25, and the recommendation from staff is to extend the construction term. And there's council or committee discretion on whether or not a penalty is applied. So that would be up to committee to make that motion.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Matthew. I see there's no recommendation from staff on the whether a penalty should be applied or not. I'm of the opinion that if the construction started after they paid the penalty the last time, then it would seem to me that they should probably not have to pay an additional penalty in this year. Obviously, if they don't achieve the construction of the time of this extension, then they would need to again. But it seems to me like this would be reasonable to say they'd already paid the penalty. If there's no other issue with that from council, I would make the motion to approve the extending of the deadline for this block, whatever, 242, to December 31st, 2026, without penalty.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty will make a comment. Thank you, Mayor Awa.
To ask a question prior to motion was put on table. I just want to get a clarification on when we were talking about section 46 of the bylaw, note 87, outlining a 12-month extension. Now we're going to go beyond 12 months. We're going to go 24 months. What is the policy on that? Do we go through the same policy as we for 12 months? Is the same policy applies on the penalty? So I'm just curious about, we seem to be just moving along extension. So I just want to get a clarification. What happens after 12 months? Thank you.
Thank you, Alternate Mayor Flaherty. Now the floor is to Matthew.
Question. We can extend for 12 months at a time. By motion, we can't extend for greater than that. So for these lots, we would extend from to the end of the calendar year. And if not constructed by then, we would return. But these lots were first acquired many, many years ago. They've been extended. This would be the third time that they've been extended. And a lot of the main reasons for the first extension were related to the pandemic and the cost of construction and things of that nature. And then the second extension, similar issues were cited. And this one was just because they ran out of time in the construction year last year. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Mayor Flaherty.
Follow up. In the worst case scenario, what would be if they were not approved for extension?
Thank you, Alternate Mayor Smith. Alternate Mayor Flaherty, my apologies. Matthew?
This would no longer be in good standing, and we would enforce that the lessee could surrender or we could seek a court order to terminate the lease, and the lot would be the lots that are mid-construction, it would be the land administration bylaw outlines certain policies for a semi-improved lot and how the city can resolve that, including auction, but we would seek legal counsel on that item and go through them. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for that clarification. And there was a motion by Councillor Stevenson to the motion, seconded by Councillor Kunuk. And to the motion, any questions or comments? I see none. All those in favor? Unanimous. And also online, Deputy Mayor Smith.
Unanimous. Thank you.
What's that noise? Noise abangan.
Had the lessee is Josh Armstrong and Wendy Benz. They had originally planned to surrender their lease. The terms were not, when we were discussing the terms of their surrender, they had changed their mind. They were more interested in developing the lot and have been proactive from on the planning side with the department to get the necessary permits. They listened to council's feedback in that meeting regarding having a lot that complies to the zoning bylaw, no variances, and they've submitted and their permit is approved and issued. And they've been working with the chief building official on their foundation. So the staff recommendation would be to again extend the construction deadline for lot 27 to the end of the year with or without penalty. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. And moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty, seconded by Councillor Agluka. Any questions or comments? Hold on. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Motion for with or without penalty.
Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. What's the recommendation?
Recommendation. This one did not pay a penalty last year, but there is no staff recommendation. It's the discretion is with committee. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Alternate Mayor Flaherty. Thank you, Mayor Awa. I believe in the springtime there was a report by and a presentation by the landowners that they first wanted to relinquish the land at the time. And they had various reasons to give up on the development, and they had told us their story about growing up in Iqaluit, and they wanted to dream about owning a home. And I believe some factors may have changed, and that they wanted to move ahead. And I'm just saying that I'm proud of that they wanted to keep moving forward. I feel that there should be no fee attached to this. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Mayor Flaherty. And the motion is without a fee.
If the motion would read in that case, if committee wanted to make that motion, to extend the construction deadline for lot 27 without penalty, that would be how the motion would read.
Now it's Katimay Kunuk, Piyakitkawi.
Katimay Stevenson actually seconded, not Councillor Kunuk. And my apologies. And there was a motion by alternate mayor and seconded by Councillor Agluka. All right, I understand now. Thank you. And so there, the motion is more clarified that there'll be an extension without a penalty. All those in favor? Unanimous at the table. How about online, Deputy Mayor? And our fellow councillor will leave due to conflict. So we're now on item number...
Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And as per the report, this lot 29, the lessee paid the 10% penalty last year. They've constructed their piles. They're working on foundation currently. And the recommendation is to extend the construction deadline for lot 29 to December 31st. And once again, the discretion on penalty is with committee. Thank you.
That extension to December 31, right? Okay. With penalty? No. Katimayi Steve.
Klinamik Anyukak, I'd make the motion to extend this construction deadline to December 31st, 2026, without penalty.
All right. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Agluka. Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Councillor Smith? Or Deputy Mayor Smith in favor? And now on our next item, Rick.
Not 29.
I think we're now at the last item.
Stevenson. Shepherd. In favor.
All those in favor?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, for being at tonight.
In favor.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
Thank you.